drive a car when he had his breakdown, and if he could just remember which was first and which was second and which was reverse, and he could get it right, then he sort of felt that he could get his ability to drive back. So it seems to me that there is sort of a diagram that kind of contains all of his anxieties about being psychotic and offers the possibility of reorientation. So that's sort of, it became a center of the way he could heal himself. Yes.
I worked at a psychiatric hospital in Vanderbilt, Nashville, and I had a schizophrenic patient bring me a grapevine reed that was exactly like that. And that was his total source of income other than his disability check. He went around house to house and sold these grapevine reeds in that exact shape right there. Mm-hmm.
So it was the source of his adaptation. I mean, it was the source of everything.
He just knocked on doors just to whoever. He didn't care. I've got it down.
So in a sense, the sacred center is sort of a mandala within that gives us sort of a sense of orientation. Yes.
I also work with schizophrenics, and two of the people in the group have drawn circles with a single dot in the center, and I asked them, I said, well, tell me about this dot in the center, and they said the circle was the sun, and I said, okay, well, what's this in the center? And they said, that's the light. Both of them said,
Interesting.
I was thinking of how non-linear the process is when you were telling the dream about the cup being the container. I was remembering Rumi's poetry about being raw and well done and burned to a crisp
all at the same time.
All at the same time. Excellent. Raw and burned to a crisp and done and burned to a crisp all at the same time in Rumi.
John, I had forgotten, would you remind us the formula for identifying the dominant function? Is that always the selection for the J or the P? Does that point to it?
It's whatever the dominant function is in my model is what's most heroic in you. The J or P is a key to how one is using one's leading extroverted function, and that's its only use in the MBTI. And for that reason, it's a little confusing to people, because for the person who has an extroverted superior, it is the superior function. But if one happens to be introverted, it refers to the auxiliary function. So all you know is that you're using your most extroverted function, or your leading extroverted function, as they say. You're using your leading extroverted function in either a J or P way. That's really all it can tell you, if you even believe that the test is accurate. And the test is not that accurate that we can always get that right. But in my case, ENTP, I'm an extroverted intuitive. Well, it just happens that my superior function is my leading extroverted function, and it happens to be a P function, so it fits well for me. It gets very confusing when you bring up someone who might be, let's say, INFP. INFP is the formula, and this is why a little bit of knowledge is so difficult. INFP does not mean introverted intuition with feeling, unfortunately. If it did, it would be a lot easier. The second letter is always N or S, regardless of whether it's the first or second function. So that all you really know is, if the person's got an I, is that their superior function is introverted. Turns out INFP refers to an introverted feeling person who has extroverted intuition on the side, and the P, referring to the extroverted function, refers to the auxiliary function for an introvert. See how hard that is?
Yes.
Boy, that I could even answer the question, that it took me, it was a 5-year learning curve before I could even handle that question. So I don't expect you to take it all in now. In a way, I want you to move away from that and think more simply about what you've really got. What is your superior function? What is your inferior function? And if you haven't got a superior function, why not? Or are you one of the many people that weren't allowed to be heroic? Until 40 years ago, that was 50% of the people in the human race, because women as a whole were not allowed to be heroic. I mean, they were anyway sometimes, but they weren't allowed to be. Not all men can be heroes for various reasons. So a lot of us don't even have a heroic function. It's only some who've been able to get to the superior function, let alone the auxiliary. How many people use their true auxiliary function? If I'm right that it's a mother or a father, that means that for you to use your auxiliary function, you've got to come forth with fatherliness. But what if your own father doesn't like that? What if you come from a family like mine, where my father was the only game in town? You weren't supposed to be fatherly around him. So you don't use your second function, maybe you use your third function. So most of us are only partly who we are, and the rest is some kind of adaptation to what people want and what people will tolerate. So that's why for many of us it takes a psychotherapy to straighten it all out, and slowly it emerges. And in that emergence, the self seems to be helping us and urging us to be ourselves. Yes?
With regard to superior and inferior function at the individual, you've talked a lot about that at the individual level. As we went to lunch, I was somewhat left with the thought that at a societal level, if we know that we have extroverted sensation as a country or as a people, how would we be able to exhibit what is best for us growth-wise when that extroverted behavior is what is rewarded in our society? For example, introverted behavior is not necessarily rewarded in our society.
Well, we have to have a revolution. Thomas Jefferson said we need a revolution every 20 years to keep this country healthy. And we need a revolution. We need, you know,
It seems difficult when, you know, our entertainers, our athletics, now we have all these crazy reality shows where people are clamoring to get on the TV.
Well, at some point it's going to self-destruct no matter what we do. It already has gotten so gross and so appalling that in time, whatever I say today, in time it will. The question is whether we experience a series of painful compensations from fate, like the Enron disaster, or whether we more consciously shape our development. In other words, I guess you're asking, where does the courage come from?
Yeah, I guess
where
I
does
have,
the courage
I think, come from? As an individual, what could I do, knowing that we as a society need to grow in a more introverted manner? What types of things, like modeling clay, or, you know, as you said, Jung would attempt to do things with his hands?
Well, let me tell you where I think we probably have done ourselves the most disservice. We have seriously scapegoated vision in this culture. It's very exciting that C.G. Jung's theories would take off in America to any degree at all, and that there is a Jungian movement, because this is an introverted, intuitive movement. As you all know, I love movies, and I particularly studied American film, and I particularly like to look at American film to see what the types are doing and to see what the culture is thinking. And one of the sad things that I've observed in American movies is how often the introverted, intuitive character is portrayed as a psychotic, often a serial killer. The person who's involved with the archetypal image is seen as a dangerous crazy. And that's how the scenario depicts the person. I could give you several examples.